time to feel the rush of the round table live on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Ryan Dewell, Tamara Cherry with you here on The Rush this afternoon. It is time to welcome in the round table. Amanda Galbraith is here. Of course, you know her from a fantastic show she hosts, Free For All Fridays on Newstalk 1010. It's on Friday. That's why it's named that. And of course, across the iHeart Talk Radio Network, and she's a principal at Navigator. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Jaskaran Sandhu, senior consultant at Crestview Strategy. Hello, sir. Okay, we're having a bit of an issue there with Jaskaran. Nope. So, Amanda, we're going to start with you. Okay.
Process of elimination.
I don't think that counts. If you can hear him, Jaskaran, can you hear me?
I can hear you. This is very confusing.
Nope. We've got everybody we need. Okay. Let's start off with the conversation we were just having. I think it's a good appointment. I caution Canadians when it comes to our first Indigenous Governor General to understand that this is a Prime Minister who is all about optics, who's all about putting on a show. Amanda, do you agree?
I think he certainly, this will tick a lot of boxes for him, right? And I think the optics thing is something you should pick up on, and it's real. And it's probably a bit unfortunate for Mary Simon in that she's the real deal. We worked with her when I was in the Harper government, when I was in the Environment Ministry's office around issues in the Arctic, around issues of climate change. She's been someone who I think has worked across the aisle, both with conservatives, liberals. Like, she's really about getting stuff done, not so much the politics of it, which I think, and she's very intelligent and very bright, and I think will actually is an excellent appointment in comparison to the train wreck that was the last time. So, I think people are probably right to remark upon the fact that she's the first. It's probably a bit unfortunate that she's the first, but somebody's got to do that, and I think her behavior in the role will have everyone forgetting about that one pretty soon.
Yeah, you know what, to Amanda's point, it's important for us to touch on the fact that that this appointment is ticking a lot of boxes for Justin Trudeau. But when we get down the path that Ryan Doyle has been walking today in terms of, only talking about that, are we taking away from the merits that she was appointed on, Jaskaran?
Yeah, we shouldn't be making the mistake of kind of treating this as a form of, tokenism is probably what it's probably most commonly referred to as, or like a diversity hire. This is, that's usually a mistake to begin with. And in this case, it is. I think there's a lot of merits there for her selection in the role and a great deal of pedigree. And there's people in the Indigenous community who are not entirely impressed to see someone representing the crown. But then there's a lot more that also argue that, it's good to have someone there who can speak to the Indigenous community's view of what's been happening and have that voice in what is an incredibly important ceremonial role in our Constitution.
I was so excited to have this discussion this afternoon. I forgot and regretted to mention that the roundtable is brought to you by Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions for approvals in as little as 1 hour, if you can believe it, and fast funding. Visit burkefinancial.ca, brokerage license number 13111. Big changes, or at least some advancements, Amanda, when it comes to Ontario's elementary school curriculum. We understand that the school boards are going to be tasked with putting in anti-human trafficking protocols to better protect students, even in elementary school. That's where it's going to start, as early as grade one.
Yeah, which is, I think, incredibly wonderful and very smart of them. And yes, while it might terrify parents to think you have to teach kids about this as young as grade one, it's a real issue that confronts people across socioeconomic issues. I've worked on a bunch of different groups and volunteer groups about this. And in particular, one of the big challenges we face is that kids are grooming other kids and they don't even know it, right? They're bringing them to parties, they're introducing them to friends, to boyfriends, who are then taking advantage of these young people. So I actually think this is a really smart step. I think it's really smart to educate young people about what this is like, what is happening in our schools right under our noses, and hopefully we can really cut back on this issue and I think get to the bottom of it, because it's one thing to talk to parents and adults about it, but it's really happening with kids on kids, and I think it's important.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the point about this may scare parents, that this big scary issue is going to be talked about with their young children. We thought this was going to be a controversial issue today, but we didn't get any calls or texts even from anybody who was saying, no, this shouldn't be in the curriculum, which I was very happy with. I care deeply about this issue and inspired by. And Jaskaran, I think that there is a way that we can talk to kids in an age-appropriate way about very serious issues, even as young as grade one, as the Ontario government is planning.
Yeah, and it's incredibly important in protecting our kids and equipping them with at least some knowledge as to what's a very real issue. And I think to Amanda's point, yeah, a lot of this grooming is happening, you know, from other kids. And it's a form of exploitation that I think more common than people like to think it is. You know, ensuring that our children can understand the signs of it and how to protect themselves from it is incredibly important.
Another, I guess, musing in the world of education came from MPP Gila Marto, who had this to say on her Facebook community chat while she was talking to a teacher and a student.
What is the difference really between a virtual classroom where you're teaching live and the students supposedly, they often don't have their video cameras on, but supposedly students are there and they're live, versus if teachers would just record their lessons and you would just download that lesson and watch that lesson that day. So what's the comparison between why should we pay a teacher maybe even to do this virtual learning? Should we just be recording the teachers and the students can just log on?
You know, what would be the difference if we had, like, robots that could stand at the front of the classroom and they'd be video robots and we don't have to pay those people because they're robots? I mean, that'd be good, right, Amanda? Robots?
I mean, yeah, not great, but, like, for example, I ride a Peloton, right? I ride the pre-recorded classes. I don't do the live classes, okay, right? Yeah. I just don't. I mean, they engage with people, but I like the fact that it's convenient for me. So I do actually think there's probably some merit to saying, yes, I think classes should be live. Yes, I think engagement with students is incredibly important, and we should not understate that. And, like, the teachers have been doing heroic work trying to figure that out in Zoom. I watched my nieces do it for a week, and I was like, good Lord. There may be some benefit to having that stuff available to parents, like, if we continue or we have to do this again, if there's another wave, God forbid, and people can access it a little more readily. So I don't think it's a bad idea to explore, but I do think, you know, the idea of replacing or paying teachers less doesn't really fly with me, or at least on this one.
And Amanda, you're an adult who's exercising with the pre-recorded Peloton app, which I do so as well. So there you go. We're talking about children, though, Jess Karen, who are learning important things like reading and writing and how to not be pimped out by a human trafficker. There should be, I think, room for fluid conversation in real time.
Yeah, sorry about that. My kids went through online learning since March, since the first everything closed. They've been online. It's a terrible experience. It's atrocious for the kids. They hate it. So, in-person, live, as much communication as possible is the key to success. If you want to provide some supplemental tools that you can do with your kids as a parent, yeah, that's amazing. To be fair to the member, I don't think she was actually making a statement of fact that this is what she wants to see. It was a town hall where she was essentially being the interviewer of a student and a teacher. And she was putting the question to them and kind of laying it up for the teacher to say, well, no, that's a silly idea. Like, that's how I read it when I was watching it. And when you just clip it, just that clip, it just seems like she's making a statement, which is not necessarily how that was actually presented in her town hall.
It's very interesting to note, before we move on to the next topic, that I just clicked on that Facebook page and the full video is still up, which I am shocked by, because I would have assumed that the party leaders and the education minister would have ordered that video be taken down. But perhaps it's a good thing. People can now go and see it in all of its glory and context.
Maybe it's paid for by the robot teacher lobby. Who knows? There are a lot of people reacting today. Police have charged 8 people, including a 12-year-old boy, after fireworks were allegedly fired at beachgoers, fired at police officers, fired at police horses. The mayor had this to say about fireworks in general in our city.
You just cannot have a situation continuing where people are firing fireworks at each other, at police officers, at police horses. It doesn't really matter who they're firing them at. It's just antisocial, irresponsible behavior. We saw a professional hockey player killed in an accident involving, in the last couple of days, a firework being shot. In that case, I think inadvertently, I think it fell over. But it shows you that it literally can be life-threatening. There are rules in place in particular about the use of fireworks on Canada Day and Victoria Day only, and not on beaches and public parks for a reason. And most of that has to do with not trying to be a killjoy, but trying to make sure people are kept safe.
Amanda, you know, when you hear that, you know, obviously the mayor mentioned the goalie who was shot in the chest with a firework after trying to get out of a hot tub and get out of the way of it. Is there a fix here when it comes to banning these?
Honestly, I think they should look at it. I hate fireworks. I understand that people like the notion of them, but they're like incendiary devices that explode. They scare, killed someone for what value? They scare animals. Like, there's mass deaths of birds. People, like, they abandon their, animals abandon their nests. Dogs, and like, you know, we had a rescue animal or whatever, an animal, like, flee. I just don't understand people's fascination with sparkly things in the sky that do dramatic, like, damage to the environment. Other places, like, what's the point? So to me, I just think that there's a lot better use of our time and money than having fireworks that can either injure or hurt or kill people. And also setting them off at police officers, like, come on.
Just Karen, I got a quick 20 seconds for you. Are you pro ban or against it?
What happened to liberty and freedom in this country when far leftists like Amanda are trying to shut down fireworks?
Environmental lover. I'm a dog lover and animal lover first. That's my problem.
I will always stand with the good people of this country who want to celebrate with fireworks, and our job creators putting those firework factories to work, to give them in our hands and let them shoot them into the sky.
Jaskar and Amanda, thank you. We're going to leave it at that. We've got your CTV news coming your way in just a matter of moments. I would like to thank, of course, Tamara Cherry. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Mike Catherwood and Donnie Coulter, thank you for putting together a great broadcast. And to all of you, thank you so much for listening in and being part of the broadcast. We will check you back same time, 2 o'clock tomorrow here on The Rush.